And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Week 20 pickups, but first and foremost, Nick, a big trade went down over the weekend. Timo Meier, as anticipated, to the New Jersey Devils. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Yes, several trades. Don't forget Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Yeah, it's a wild time in the NHL world. We're getting closer and closer to the trade deadline, 3 Eastern time coming up on Friday. But that is the talk of the town as we bring in waiver wire James. James, your initial impression on Timo Meier finally going to New Jersey, and what does that mean for the red hot Dawson Mercer?
Yeah, I think that Mercer is going to just see his production level continue. I have a feeling that this trade is going to help Jack Hughes more than it's going to help Dawson Mercer. Mercer's kind of slotted in on that line with Nico Hischier right now. And I know Hischier and Meier have that connection from their time in the Swiss national program. But I really think that this is more a move to solidify Jack Hughes for a long time, because Mercer and Hischier kind of seem like they're going to be on their own line and a little separate. And then I hope to see all four of these guys on a power play, because that's just going to be incredibly lethal. But I mean, what a trade. It's something we had speculated for a while. And just to finally see it happen now, and the return that it was, I'm still reading through the trade conditions, trying to understand everything, but wow. Yeah, that was a blockbuster, and it's going to be really exciting to see the Eastern Conference right now.
It's not a great return for the San Jose Sharks. We'll get to that in a little bit. Obviously, they still have Erik Karlsson and still have a decent offense, but that team's trajectory didn't get that much better from trading away your best goal scorer. And to me, that's a little disappointing. But for the New Jersey Devils, like you said, right, Nick, either way, it's a great combination. And in terms of their chances of winning the Stanley Cup, certainly you could say the Devils are a fringe top five team to win it all. But the problem is in the East, right, Nick? It's like, any of those number of teams could be out in the first round, and they could be a really strong team in falling out.
An absolute arms race, right? I think the potential of seeing the Rangers, the New Jersey Devils take each other on in the first round, Tampa and Toronto. And that's why I think you're seeing all the wheeling and dealing. Because James, I do think a lot of teams think they have a legitimate shot at winning a Stanley Cup. That's why I wonder if there's actually more value in the West right now, if you can believe it.
I really think that there is. I mean, you know, you kind of see everything that people are talking about in the NFL with all of the quarterback moving right now, or the potential quarterback moving, you know, potentially Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, a bunch of these top quarterbacks going to the AFC. It's kind of the same thing here in the NHL, right? See, a lot of these top guys now in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference is wide open. If somebody could, you know, get some decent goaltending out west, and you know, go on a run. I mean, Edmonton, LA, you know, Vegas, like one of these teams, if they get a hot goaltender, Dallas with Ottinger, you know, they could run through the West pretty easily, I think.
It's a copycat league, and Pete, and I just wanted to get sort of your opinion on Ivan Barbashev going from St. Louis to the Vegas Golden Knights. And I mentioned it's a copycat league because we all are looking for that next star, Terry Lehkonen. I think we could all agree the value he brought last year to the Colorado Avalanche. So, Pete, how do you like that fit, Barbashev in Sin City, and where do you think he can fit in there?
I like it a lot if he ends up playing with Jack Eichel, especially when you consider that Mark Stone might not return at all this season. Hopefully he does. But with Barbashev during his time in St. Louis, and James would definitely agree with this, he was underutilized. And last year he had quietly one of the breakout seasons in the whole league, especially when you consider his category coverage of hits. And he was still last season playing a lot on the second or third line. So I kind of want to see Barbashev get a top line role, run with it. And from now until the end of the season, I feel like he could quietly be one of the most productive fantasy trade deadline movers in the whole league going to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, he broke out last season, 60 points, 81 games, 26 goals, and now you see it this year, only 10 goals and 29 points in just about 60 games. So it's really interesting to see a player like that playing with presumably and you know, most nights the same players that he was last season, just have that much of a fall off. So I think the Lehkonen comp is really valid here because you saw what Lehkonen did going from Montreal last year to Colorado, playing with guys like McKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog and Nichushkin. I would really be interested to see, especially if Vegas slots Barbashev into the top six, what he could do for the remainder of the season.
I'm sure he'll be in the top six, and I want to see if he'll be on the first power play. And that's really where you could see him reach another level. He had like 60 something points last year, and I think he only had like 10 or 11 on the power play. So, you know, clearly a lot of room for a jump there. And if he's out there with Eichel, Nick, and he's out there with Shea Theodore mm-hmm. and Marchessault, like Vegas still has a pretty decent team. And I don't know that they're going to go on a cup run. I lean more towards the teams in the Central, like Colorado and Dallas, as the teams most likely to come out of the Western Conference. And they'll probably be on a collision course. But Vegas is like a grizzled team in the Pacific, a lot of experience. And could I see them beating any team in a seven-game series in the Pacific, including Edmonton, if they're healthy? Yes, I could.
Hey, put it this way, considering they're on like their third and fourth string netminders, it's pretty exceptional where they're at in the standings right now. Laurent Boissois makes his debut, his season debut last week, and I think he's been pretty steady. Aiden Hill's not ready to go after that injury. And yeah, without Mark Stone, they're still staying afloat. And I wonder if Barbashev stays in that conversation there. I think you also look at the Winnipeg Jets. I think there's value in that team when you have Connor Hellebuyck, the season he's putting together. Ditto for Josh Morrissey. I know they lost Perfetti long-term, but they pick up Nino Niederreiter. I thought that was a stealth move. Remember that hot start? We were talking about Niederreiter in fantasy hockey for the first 2 weeks. He was ripping it up, scoring every game. He has 18 goals, and James, I think there's a high likelihood that he could actually factor into that stacked top six right away for the Jets. Do you agree?
100%, especially with Perfetti probably being done for the majority of the regular season, if not the rest of the season in total right now. I would assume that Niederreiter is going to, you know, slot into that top six, probably even onto that top line with Connor and Scheifele. I believe in their game against the Islanders yesterday, they had Mason Appleton slotted in there just because, you know, the trade happened, you know, so close to them being able to get Niederreiter there and, you know, into the lineup and comfortable. But I would expect after a skate or two this week, he's going to slot somewhere into that top six. And I think that could really be a lethal pickup for the remainder of the season. I think it's a very, very shrewd and underrated move from both a practical standpoint, filling a need for the Jets, and from a fantasy standpoint, somebody you should be looking to stream.
And Niederreiter is another guy that covers hits here, and he's a five-time 20-goal scorer. So, you know, you can fall back on that pedigree. I think back to that season he had in Minnesota when he was in the top six, when he was covering every single category, all six standard categories. And he's one of the few guys out there that when he's clicking, he'll do it all for your fantasy team. I also wanted to touch on, James, some of the beneficiaries in the Devils lineup. The interesting thing with Timo Meier is he's played at an elite level last season on the right side. He's played at an elite level this season on the left side for San Jose, despite them being a non-contender. Which wing do you think he's going to play on? And therefore, could you see this trade benefiting? Like, if he plays on the left side, it's going to benefit either Mercer or Bratt, right? But if he plays on the right side, it's probably going to benefit someone like Sharon Govich or Andre Palat.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume right now, since Mercer, I think, has been skating on the right side of Nico Hischier, they're probably going to shift Meier onto the left and drop Tatar down in the lineup, probably to align with, you know, maybe like Eric Haula and Andre Palat. I could see if he slots onto that line with Jack Hughes, maybe they kick Sharon Govich down, who's also playing on the left side. So I would assume more that it's going to be Meier deployed on the left side of either Hischier or Hughes, wherever he puts it. But I'm kind of really hoping that it's on that line with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, because I think that's just going to be an incredible top six if you can, you know, have that mix with Hischier and Mercer staying together, and then put Hughes and Meier.
Hey, Nick, answer that question. And then I have the question of all questions that's not really fantasy related, but I was at the Islanders game with Davey and it was already being asked. But answer Pete's question first, Nick.
that the New Jersey Devils, who this benefits, I think in the long run, I think it hurts first and foremost Tatar and Andre Palat, who they picked up in the offseason. But yeah, I agree with James. Like Dawson Mercer, I think is a must add right now. We've been talking to him the last couple of weeks in fantasy hockey, 8 goals over a 6-game goal streak and point streak, 10 points. And I just think it strengthens the value of anybody with the attachment to Timo Meier. And I just can't wait to see that power play unit PP1 go to work. So, Bob, take it away, buddy.
Now, I don't want to go off the rails too much with
the Bobby.
I don't want to get off the rails too much here, but Davey in the suite at the Islanders game on Friday, before the Timo Meier deal was even made, this is the question everyone's asking and discussing in the tri-state area. Rangers Devils first round matchup is going to be a lot of fun. Who do you give the edge to in that series? You know, after all these deals are made, we're assuming Kane's going to the Rangers. Really tough for me to answer that question. Wanted to go around the horn and hear what you guys had to say on that.
I'll start. I think Shesterkin gives, not Sharon Govich, Shesterkin gives the New York Rangers a big edge in that matchup. If it happens, if whether they get Kane or not, Vitek Vanacek's going to get a lot of goal support. He has already this season. He's got 25 wins in 38 games, I think 35 starts. I mean, that is incredible, historically speaking, for a guy that really didn't have this type of capability prior to the season. So I'm not saying he's a fluke, but when it gets to the playoffs, like that's going to be a weak point for the Devils, the goaltending.
You think the fairy dust wears off come April, round of the playoffs?
I could still see that. It'll go like 7, though, 6 or 7.
Well, look at Louis Domingue last year. Anything is possible. But I wanted to point out Shesterkin's numbers since January 1st. I know we're starting to hear some whispers on Broadway. You can get every superstar you want. If you can't get a save, it's not going to help you. The last 15 appearances since January 1st, Shesterkin, 3.12, 894. So obviously, he probably turns into Shesterkin of old come the Stanley Cup playoffs. But something to factor in, I think when you look at that series, who is the better goalie? I agree with Pete. It's the Rangers. Who has the top defenseman in the series? Well, I think it's closer than people think it is. Obviously, it's Adam Fox. Dougie Hamilton, guys, had an incredible year. And then you look up front, who's the best forward in the series? I think you can make a serious case for Jack Hughes, but there's like 17 guys in the Rangers who could factor into that conversation, James.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I'd probably give the Rangers a slight edge right now, whether or not they get Kane. I'm still 50-50 on whether the Kane deal actually happens. I just think that, you know, Chicago is kind of holding firm on wanting a little bit more, seeing all of the prices that people are paying for these guys. And I think Chicago's content not trading Kane unless they get, you know, something of value and not blowing up the team as much. I think when you look at it, we said at the beginning of the year, it was going to be hard for the Rangers to replicate what they did last season. All those guys having career years, and they're all kind of coming back down to earth a little bit this season. And the Devils being what they are, I still give the Rangers a little bit of an edge, but man, it's close, and Meier makes it even closer. It's going to be a great series.
You're aware that Pagnotta said the deal is done with Kane, right? I mean, whatever Pagnotta says, we go with here on this show, James. Otherwise,
until it happens, Bobby, I'm not convinced.
Yeah. So his last name is Pagnotta. You don't pronounce the G in Italian. But the two Pags. Things I'll bring to the table,
I call them Pags,
is number one, the worst kept secret in hockey was David Poile was going to retire. Barry Trotz is going to take over. That's why Barry Trotz didn't take a job. And the other worst kept secret in hockey is that Patrick Kane's going to be a New York Ranger. Like this roster shuffling is not happening for no reason on Broadway. I think the reason why it's taking this long is for cap considerations. I think it happens around Wednesday or Thursday, closer to the deadline.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
So Duclair came back the other day, had a huge game. The Panthers lost despite heavily outshooting the Sabres, but Duclair had an assist, 4 shots on goal and 5 hits. So someone was asking Duclair or Seth Jarvis, who's really been coming on strong for the Carolina Hurricanes, which guy do you like more now that Duke is back?
Oh man. Wow. That's actually a really, really fair question to debate. I'd probably still say right now I'm leaning Seth Jarvis. Just on that top line, his exposure to Aho, who has been playing excellent lately. I think that Florida is still kind of shuffling their lines with all the injuries, trying to figure out who slots in best where. So until Florida's lineup is fully healthy, and I know that Duclair is going to remain probably on that top line with Barkov, I'm going to lead Jarvis just because I know where he's playing and who he's playing with.
All right, I'm going to go with Duclair then. I think it's a really, really good comparable. I just think Seth Jarvis has been consistently inconsistent. Like, there's weeks where he rips it up. There's others where he's just not really producing. And I just think you look at what Duclair brings to the table in his season debut, you know, picks up an assist. I think he's got the potential to score 30 goals clearly in this league. So I think it's close, Pete, but I'm going to go with Duclair. Who do you have?
I will also go with Duclair. I think that Carolina shuffles its lines a lot, and I know Florida does as well, but all the turbulence this season with Florida has been because of injuries, and now they're starting to get healthy. We talked about it on the deadline show. It's a nice addition from within, and you know, I don't know that Florida is going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to go quietly, especially on offense. So obviously unfortunate news with Spencer Knight. We hope that he's doing well, and we hope that he gets back soon because we've all been excited about him. But this is going to be Bobrovsky's team for better or worse for at least the next couple of weeks. So we'll see if he could live up to that contract, right, James?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just wish that these guys, you know, get the help that they need and get back and you know, start performing at the level that we know they can perform at, especially such a young guy like Spencer Knight. But we saw it with Carey Price and you know, you just want these guys to get the help that they need and get back healthy.
It was a wonderful weekend, guys, and I do agree with you both. It was a wonderful weekend in terms of discourse on social media. We had plenty of trades, complaining, the analytics community shaking hand with the eye test community, all in one fell swoop of 72 hours in this NHL world. So I want to get into the conversation about the Atlantic Division, see the Maple Leafs pick up O'Reilly and Achari. We see Boston counter that with Orlov and Hathaway, two exceptional pickups. And then Tampa, here comes Tampa. Every year there's naysayers. What are they doing? They're giving up boatloads of picks. They pick up Tanner Janot. There's one thing we do know about the Lightning. They love cap certainty, and the likelihood that they're going to sign this guy long-term to a cap-friendly deal, very, very likely, at least in my world, Pete. But who do you think has done the best of those three teams? We try to figure out who's going to take this Atlantic Division this season.
So many, we're talking about so many other teams this season, but Tampa just got a lot better. They got a guy that could play on his own on the third line if they want to. I mean, look at some of these other teams. Like Boston has guys like Tanner Janot, but Toronto, I don't know that they have somebody like that. And Tampa also has Nick Paul, like some of these guys that bring a little physicality to their game and can rough things up a little bit in the playoffs. So to answer your question, I really like what Tanner Janot brings to the Lightning, regardless of where he plays. They could stick him up top whenever they want to, if they want to change things up and support Kucherov and Point a little bit more. So Tanner Janot, James, was like a 20 plus goal scorer last year as a rookie, and he's one of the best hitters in the league. So he's going to bring fantasy coverage. I'd go out there and pick him up. That's great exposure playing anywhere on the Lightning.
100%. And he also could be, you know, the replacement at the end of the year for maybe a guy like Alex Killorn if he prices himself out of Tampa Bay when he hits free agency. So, you know, you just never know. But I'm just curious, do you think that, you know, the Vancouver Canucks are kicking themselves for not holding Bo Horvat a few weeks longer, seeing what some of these returns are bringing some of these players? I mean, five picks and a roster defenseman for Tanner Janot. These GMs are starting to treat these draft picks like the NBA does, and it's pretty wild to see.
It's funny, but I do think it really is a buyer's market. That's the intrigue for me, Pete, is that like there are way more buyers than sellers or whatever it is. And like, I think the heat is more on the sellers to find a landing spot for some of these guys, yet teams are jumping. Like, I think the best course of action every year is different, but I think patience is a virtue, especially when it comes to these defensemen, because teams are either going to have to lower their prices or they're not going to trade these guys.
Yeah, and to comment on Dmitry Orlov going to Boston, even if he's on the third pair, James, like this guy is worth considering in deep fantasy leagues. A lot of people have been streaming him already throughout his Washington career, some injuries here and there, but when he's healthy, regardless of where he plays, he covers hits, he covers blocks, he chips in points. And now he joins probably the best blue line from top to bottom in the entire NHL. You could say Carolina's up there, Colorado's up there when healthy, but really Boston just strengthened its team to the point where really they don't have a weakness. They roll three strong lines, three strong defense pairs. Linus Ullmark goes out there and scores a goalie goal, but they still have Jeremy Swayman, even if something falls through with him at some point with an injury, right?
It is scary how deep the Bruins are, and that Bruins-Devils Eastern Conference final is going to be one hell of a matchup this year.
Bruins-Devils? You're a big Devils guy, eh? I could see the Bruins. I don't know if I could see the Devils. I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling the Rangers more than some people.
I could see the Devils pulling an upset in the first round, yeah, just because it's not an upset because they've been a top five team all year. But until they go out there and beat a team like the Rangers, like, but they're not going to do it twice. I don't think that they're going to go past the second round. Posed that question on the Instagram. How deep are they going to go? Win multiple rounds, win one round, or first round exit? I'm leaning towards win one round right now.
I think win one round is kind of realistic right now, just because of how young and inexperienced they are being in this position.
Yeah.
Wow. We're handicapping the playoffs already here, and we're getting into each series, and we're moving the chess pieces around. I want to know who do I pick up on the waiver wire? I haven't heard anyone tell me who I should be picking up on the waiver wire.
Every name on this list.
Right, we went through
Bob,
the list already.
Go through it again.
I guess I wasn't listening hard enough. Go ahead.
I got a name to toss around to okay. James that I don't know we've talked about all year on the show. Tommy Novak from the Nashville Predators.
Tommy,
obviously
Novak.
They're going to be
Tommy Novak. We talked about him at the beginning of the season when he first came up.
22 points in 26 games, and over his past five or six games, he's been absolute fire. So, do you think that he's maybe, you know, top six center of the future for this team? I mean, clearly they're going to be having a big press conference and introducing Barry Trotz, and Trotz isn't going to be behind the bench, but he's going to have a big say on what things are going on. So I think it's a showcase for Novak from now until the rest of the season to show that he's a centerpiece of the team moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, 5-game point streak, 4 multi-point games in that span. He's a guy that I would definitely be streaming right now. Whether or not, you know, he has any kind of a future after this year, we'll have to see. But he's on that line with Granlund and Duchesne right now. Obviously, it looks like, you know, Nashville is kind of in more of that seller's mode. I think that they're just resigned to the fact that they're beat up this year, and you know, they're not the horse that they used to be. Obviously, missing Forsberg as much as they are, but there's still some really good underlying value on this team. The one name I'm going to be very, very interested to see potentially if he gets moved before the deadline is Mattias Ekholm. His name pops up pretty much every trade deadline for the last like 2 or 3 years that he could get moved. So I'm curious to see if a team finally makes a move for him, a contender finally makes a move for him, and Nashville ships him out, because I think he could be a top line or a second pair defenseman on half the teams in the league, especially on any of these contenders.
We're talking about Tommy Novak before we're talking about my guy, who's been my guy for many, many years, who I'm very upset with Jim Nill, by the way. Jim Nill, he dipped a little bit in my GM rankings because he just cut loose my guy, Dennis Gorianov. And I am broken up about it, Nick.
I thought it was a stealth move, quite frankly, because they actually freed up a bit of cap space in this one. They picked up Evgeny Dadonov, so they're going to free up some money off the books. And I think the hope is that he's the next Radulov, right? We know what Radulov did in Dallas. I'm curious to see if Dadonov gets ignited. And we know the skills there with Dadonov. It's just, does he want to play hockey or not? I'm sad to say it, but like, he hasn't been the same guy since his days with the Florida Panthers, the 2.0 run for sure. So I think it's a nice little shrewd move in my opinion, but certainly I think you look at untapped potential. Like even Chris Tierney scored in his Habs debut over the weekend. Everybody's going to sleep on that team in the latter half of this season, but Dennis Gurianov, Pete, is a guy who could take off, quite frankly.
Yeah, that could be a good line if it ends up being something like Harvey Pinard, Suzuki, yeah, and Gurianov on the top line in Montreal for the rest of the season. They're not a very good team. Caulfield's done for the season. But you see, right, even on this list, James, you were considering guys like Mike Matheson running power play and first pair on defense because of the points he's been picking up when healthy. And then now Gurianov adds to the mix, and he's another guy like Barbashev. He's always been second or third line, usually third line in recent years. So I'm excited what he could do in a top line role.
Don't let Bobby fool you. He already has his Gurianov Habs jersey ordered. So I see that grin, Bobby. I know what you're doing.
I fall in love with these players early on in their career. I saw Gurianov with the speed. I loved him. And you're right, I'm going to follow his career the rest of the way here. I'm rooting for him hard on the Habs. He sort of fell out of favor with the Stars a bit.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the Anthony Beauvillier situation that we talked about a few weeks ago when he was traded to Vancouver from the Islanders, right? Like, he's the classic case of a guy just needing a change of scenery to really see what's going to happen. And I think if he gets an opportunity somewhere in that top six, especially on that top line with a guy like Nick Suzuki, and they form some chemistry, and then boom, all of a sudden next year you get Cole Caulfield back. You know, that could be a pretty scary top six within the next year or two if Gurianov can really live up to the potential.
Last thing from me, you won't hear from me the rest of the way, but I think the waiver wire article on NHL.com has officially jumped the shark. And I think this show is about to jump the shark also, because I see Craig Anderson on the list as a goalie that we should be considering. I mean, have we completely lost our minds? What are we doing here, James?
He's got a 920 save percentage this season, significantly better than UPL, right, James? And the Sabres look like a playoff team.
He's a corpse.
He's not. He made 53 saves the other night. He's not a corpse. Get out of here with that. Right, James?
He's a corpse who made 53 saves, Bobby. You know, I mean, what can I say, right? You have to stream the hot hand right now, and Anderson's been playing well. You know, Jonathan Quick, with the exception of the Ranger game the other day, has been playing, you know, better lately. But at this point in the season, you know, you really got to reach for some stuff and yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, see what's out there. But yeah, I mean, you know, Anderson is good. I still think Buffalo needs to make some kind of a move to shore up the goaltending situation. You know, whether that's John Gibson or somebody, you know, more shorter term, I don't know. But, you know, I think that they're in to try and make a run. Obviously losing Alex Tuck, we'll see how long he's out and how much that affects them. It certainly didn't seem to affect Tage Thompson too much over the weekend.
Next thing I know, I'm going to look on the list. I'm going to see Mike Smith on there, and I'm going to start to wonder, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing?
I was contemplating Shea Weber, too.
I think if you look at the list and you see an unusual name, it's probably Matt Martin, right? I think people pick him up for hits over the years, but he's actually playing in the top six. So that's another waiver wire note that I know James is familiar with. And
that's where I thought Bobby was going. I thought Bobby was gonna give me something about putting Matt Martin on the waiver wire.
No, I don't mess with people related to the Esiasons. I love Boomer. I love Sidney Esiason. I don't get involved with knocking them. But yeah, Martin on the list is a little shaky. Also, it goes to show you where we're at with the fantasy scenario this year. At this point in the season, when we got guys like Matt Martin, Mike Smith, and Craig Anderson on the list, it's a problem.
Mike Smith is not on the list.
Close enough.
James, thanks so much for hopping on, man. A little longer than usual, but really good info as always, man.
Oh, awesome. It's my favorite time of the year, guys. Trade deadline time. So always exciting and always great to be on with you guys. I can't wait to see how the rest of the week unfolds and for Patrick Kane to not get traded to the New York Rangers.
We thank our good pal James Harding for jumping on Waiver Wire. James giving us the scoop. Craig Anderson on the Waiver Wire list is a real head scratcher, as I already mentioned. For the folks out there, we do realize that championship week in the hoop starts today. Atlantic Sun Tourney gets underway, so keep an eye on that. And Nick, I want to take a look at the schedule. Give me your schedule information. For our sponsors out there, this is sellable. This is open for you to grab this segment right now. Take it away, Nick. Schedule information for week. What is it? 20? What are we
20.
On? 20. Go ahead.
First and foremost, the golden unicorn of fantasy hockey schedules. We're going to find a lot about the Detroit Red Wings this week because they have 5 games in 7 days. The lone team with that slate. There are 11 four-game teams. Arizona, Boston, Chicago, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Seattle, Tampa, and Vegas. And the 2-game teams to stay away from, the Islanders, Philadelphia, and the Washington Capitals, Pete.
Yes, and with Detroit, they have a surplus of players. You see Zadina step up over the weekend. Raymond's coming back soon. They need both of these games against the Senators, but I expect there to be a lot of goals in those 2 games. So, you know, we'll certainly try to pick your spots with that and get all over Detroit, whether it's Fabry or Kopp or Zadina or any of these guys. Rasmussen's injured, but they got so many guys to choose from to plug and play off the waiver wire and stuff like that. And one other thing I wanted to mention before we sign off with Nashville, I'm really excited. I really believe Barry Trotz is one of the smartest hockey minds out there. So I'm excited to see how he'll translate from coach to GM, and especially having those 2 goalies for the years to come, right? Between Saros and Yaroslav Askarov. I mean, that is pretty amazing, you know, pieces to the puzzle for Trotz to work with down the road.
Yeah, that's the best part about this, right? You start with that goaltending, you start with a guy named Roman Josi. I think you're feeling pretty good about life. But Bob, I'm just, it just, I'm sort of dumbfounded, pardon for a lack of a better word, why now to make this decision? Why now to announce this a week before the deadline?
Seems odd with the timing. I do feel bad for David Poile in the sense that he got to the Stanley Cup final. He was a bit of a gunslinger, went for it. The guys he brought in never really performed to the level that they Nick did Foligno. In their previous stops. Yeah. Duchesne comes to mind. So I do feel bad for David Poile. I hope it's not a Don Mattingly situation where Poile leaves and then all of a sudden Trotz wins the Stanley Cup and they get to the Stanley Cup and win it. That would be a little upsetting to me as a David Poile fan. But I mean, listen, Barry's a smart guy, like Pete said. I mean, no other organization, you know, when you have the goaltending, I mean, they're set up long term in net, and Barry knows you can't win without the goaltending. So he's there. Foundation is there. It's a nice peaceful transfer of power. And Barry is we did an interview with him a couple weeks back in on the Chirp. He's got the guitars in the background. He's all set up in Nashville. So away we go, Peter.
Yeah, really good stuff. And if you missed it last week, definitely go back and check out the trade deadline fantasy preview we did with Dave Pagnotta of the fourth period. Really good listen. Pats. Meyer stuff's a little outdated, but everything else is good to go. So definitely check it out. And we're planning to do the Action Network collab show a little later today. So keep your eye out for that. Keep your ears out for that. Right, Nick?
And if you don't hear Peter's voice here in the coming weeks, all right, it's because he's going to be a proud papa. Okay. I don't know if this is made for public consumption, but he's bringing on a second. He's bringing on a second child here. So congratulations, Peter.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And we're getting the future fantasy league going. So we're excited about that over here.
Here's my curious question, Bob. You can answer this first. What happens first? Pete's second kid comes, Luke Shen's third kid comes, or Jacob Chychrun gets traded?
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Kane stuff.
No, it's happening. We know this already. I don't know why everybody's hung up on that. It's happening.
My luck. We say goodbye to Peter right now. We get ready to do the Action Network show. It's going to be around 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. He's going to have to run to the hospital. I'm going to have to call you up, Nick, to fill in for him. And that's what's going to happen. So
ghosted, buddy.
Let's put a bow Ghost on this. Emoji. Let's put a bow on this. The bosses, the folks in Mahogany Row are very upset right now that they're hearing my voice so much. But I had a lot of pent up energy that needed to get out.
Last name to keep an eye on before the deadline. Max Domi has been off the charts the past couple of weeks or so. I mean, even after Kane got traded, he still went off over the weekend and spoiled the Patrick Marleau jersey ceremony and all that stuff. Max Domi, if he's traded in his contract year, could do some serious damage. So pick him up now before a potential trade. Thanks again to James Harding for hopping on. For James and Nick Alberga, Bobby B., Pete Jensen, talk to you next time. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk to you next time.